Hey Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to meet on your birthday.
Wow.
So Lord, teach us something from your word today. Give us some ideas that will be a blessing and some principles we can live by. And Lord Jesus, help us to enjoy the fellowship of being with other believers today. Help us to think back to that night that you came near, nearest that you'd ever been. So Jesus, today we're thankful that you came to earth so that we can one day leave earth and go back to heaven and be with you. So we're thankful. Bless our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We've been talking about a series. So Max is going to introduce this. And you click at the bottom and he'll tell you a little something about the cause of death. Years ago, Jesus came into the world. He now wants us to come into our hearts. So the only way we can do that is to have a Savior, a way that He says, John 14:6 says, "I am the what? The way." So He had to provide a way for us. So can you imagine the day that He left? He goes up to, let's just for sake of illustration, and God says, "Okay, this is the send off. Jesus, you get to step out to a world that's pretty rough. And then you get to go down to the world and open up a door and go into Bethlehem. And Jesus, you get to give up all your powers and become a little baby." Now, it reminds me of doors as He left the door of heaven and come to the door of earth. Revelation 3:20 says, and imagine Jesus saying, "Behold," because He does, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat and will dine with him and he with me." So imagine a crack of the door into our dark world, and if we open the door, Jesus gets to come in and bring light. So all we have to do, I like that, "If any man hears my voice," I think we hear His voice quite often. It's just that we don't really want to open the door. But He's promised us He will come into us and dine with us and He with me. Because of Bethlehem, love is born, hope is here, and not just for the day of Christmas. We have that promise. God's always near us, always for us, always within us that we've accepted Him, and that we have a friend and a Savior in heaven who's there making intercession for us right now. I've been reading the book Because of Bethlehem, and Max, if I ever meet the man, I never have. Jenny's got me an autograph book, but Max wrote this book, Because of Bethlehem. But he really wrote the same book. I like him. I'm such a fan of his. This book's been through a little bit, but Max wrote this book back in 1986. Why do you think this is a lot like Because of Bethlehem? Because God came near. And he writes in this book, "It happened in a moment, a most remarkable moment. As moments go, that one appeared no different than any other moment. If you could somehow pick it up off the timeline and examine it, it would look exactly like all the other ones that have preceded it and succeeded it. And no more different than anything else. It was one of the countless moments of time. But in reality, that particular moment was like no other. For through that segment of time, a spectacular thing occurred. God became a man. Divinity arrived. Creatures walked on earth unaware, but divinity had arrived. Heaven opened herself, placed her most precious one in a human womb." Now, he continues to write, and some people don't like this because it's just like, well, I like to have God up here, and God's, when you bring Him near, it almost, they think, takes a little bit away from Him. Max says, that's not true at all. It really makes Him more appealing to me. Would you like to have Jesus as a next-door neighbor? Go next door and say, "Can I have a cup of sugar?" And there's Jesus. Or pick up a phone. "Hey, Jesus, how's it going?" Wouldn't you rather... See, Jesus to me is a pair of blue jeans, not a tuxedo. He's a crop duster, not a jet airliner. He's not something that we get out... He's not like a birthday cake that we get out once a year. He's more like the bread you ought to eat every day. If He's not every day to you, you're missing something. So Max writes these words, and boy, some people wouldn't like them. "The omnipotent in one instant made Himself breakable. He who had been spirit became pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. And He who sustains the world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a little young girl. God is a fetus, holiness sleeping in a womb, the creator of life being created. No silk, no ivory, no hype, no party, no hoopla. God was given eyebrows, elbows, two kidneys, and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated in the amniotic fluids of his mother. God had come near. He came not as a flash of light or as an unapproachable conqueror, but as one whose first cries were heard by a peasant girl and a sleepy carpenter. The hands that first held him were unmanicured, calloused, and dirty. Were it not for the shepherds, there would have been no reception. And were it not for a group of stargazers, there would have been no gifts. Angels watched as Mary changed God's diaper. The universe watched with wonder as the Almighty learned to walk. Children played in the street with Him. And had the synagogue leader in Nazareth known who was listening? My. Jesus may have even had pimples growing up. Max said he wrote that, and he got a letter from a woman that said, "Don't you tell me my Jesus had pimples." She actually got mad at him and said, "Don't make Jesus so real or human." And Max said, "Isn't that odd?" Because that's exactly what he was. He was real, and he was human. She sort of got mad at him. Jesus may have had pimples. He may have been tone deaf at times, or he might have picked up something like a splinter in his hands. Perhaps a girl down the street had a crush on him. Max writes things like that and people get mad at him. It could have been that his knees were bony. But one thing's for sure, he was, while completely divine, completely human. And for 33 years, he would feel everything that you and I ever felt. Max said he got a letter from a woman that says, "Don't tell me that Jesus had pimples." It's like that's a... Well, the Bible says he was no one really what to look at. So I don't think Jesus... Look, I believe he was strong. You don't carry a 130-pound cross on your back without being strong. But the gift that God gave us that day, His Son, it's not making Him less human. I mean, He had to become that baby. So let me give you a couple things today to think about that I think it makes me appreciate Him so much more. If someone has walked what? In your shoes, don't you appreciate Him more? If you grew up through the ranks and became the boss, don't they appreciate you more? Yeah. Today, let's consider four gifts that came to us at first Christmas. And they're still available to us today. If you have the four P's of Christmas in your mind, here they come. You can jot them down. You can later look back at them if you want to. But I want you to just to consider these four things. And I'll try to give you an idea to go home. Presence. No, not that present. Jesus gave us His presence. Jesus became a human. Jesus came to earth, and for the first time, man could see God. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, you don't have to turn to it, but this is really the story. I'll just tell it to you, that Moses wanted to see the face of God, and God said, it's almost like that, if I told you that, you know, like if someone says, "Are you a secret agent?" If I told you that, what? I'd have to kill you. I was a teacher's aide at Bird. God taught me humbleness there for 2 years. One year I took care of somebody who was, well, they were a little bit mixed up. But anyway, but people didn't see me in a classroom as much because I stayed a lot of times in the special education department. I later had a girl ask me, she said, "I always thought you were an undercover cop." And she said, "Were you?" And I went, "I told you that." I'd have to kill you. No, she said, "I thought you were some kind of special agent or something." I don't know why. When we went to get the permission to meet at Round Hill School, I walked in a woman's office, and her name was Gloria. And when I walked in, there was a Bible sitting on her desk. And I thought, wow. I sat out there in the car for 20 minutes going, "God, give me your favor, bless this meeting." And I walked in, there's a Bible on the desk. I'm like, yes. So it's like God's blessing the meeting. And I looked down at her. I took my glasses off, and she looked at me. I said, "I see that Bible. Does that mean anything to you?" "Oh, that's my guidebook. Hallelujah." Then I said, "You're going to guide us into using our church then, because you're Gateway Gloria to me today." We stayed in the Roanoke City schools for 3 years, never paid a dime rent those 3 years. She said, "I'm going to see to it that you're in a building." And I thought that was sort of cool. So Gloria, too, though, I said, you know, by the time I ended up praying with her before I left, give each other a hug when I walked out of the office. I said, "Gloria, I have to admit, when I walked in here, I thought you were going to be some old crabby woman that would not even listen to me." She said, "I thought you were an undercover cop when you came in." So I don't know. Maybe I just had that image. I am not an undercover cop. I will not kill you. Here's what Moses said to Jesus. Said to God, "Would you just show me? Let me see your face." And He said, if I showed you my face, you'd die. Why? So much glory in that. So let me read you a verse of 33:20. Moses and the glory of God. Matter of fact, I'll read in verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you'll send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If I found favor in your eyes, teach me your ways so I'll know you. Continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. If they were acting up, it was always God's people. And if they were going to blessing, it was always Moses' people. Sort of like grandparents right there. Anyway, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you. My presence. Isn't that cool? My presence will go with you. I will go with you. You'll feel my presence. Now, you can't quite see me. My presence will go with you. And I'll give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us from here. Let me put that in everyday language. If you're not going, I'm not going. If you don't go with us, I'll sit right here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I'll do the very thing you have asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, "Ooh, don't make me misty-eyed." He said, show me your glory. Let me see you. This is not my New Year's message yet, but may that be your New Year's message. God, show me you. Next time you pray, don't pray for yourself, don't pray for me, don't pray for anybody. Just say, God, show me you. That'll take a while, and then 10 minutes later, you'll find yourself still right there. Oh, God. I've got this crazy method of praying right now. I've convinced Joe that there's something to it. No. I pull up a chair and sit in front of me, and I sit in my chair, and I picture Jesus in there. By the way, where is God?
Everywhere.
So He's in that chair, right? Mm-hmm. He's in the chair beside you right now. And I pull up my computer chair. It just helps me focus. I'll grab God's hands, and I'll look up and go, whew. And for the first few seconds, I can't get words out. Because God's showing me His what? Glory. His glory. And I'll be sitting there lost and think, ooh. Joe, has that ever happened to you? I visited Joe the other day, didn't I? Joe said, come here a second. And we went out there, and Joe has this place he prays. And I opened the door, and I thought, Joe says, that's where me and God meet every day. There's my two chairs. I almost felt like taking my shoes off because I felt like I swear this holy ground. So I get my chair every morning. God, you're looking at me face to face, aren't you? You say, oh, it's mystical or mad. No, it's nothing. It's faith. He is right in front of you. It just helps me to focus. Excuse me, and I'll see God's glory. Not once Hokie will jump in the chair. I said, geez, I hope you don't mind having a cat on your lap, but sorry, my cold's coming back. Get to see God's glory. Here's the next thing. Excuse me, John 1:18. No one's ever seen God's glory, so Jesus fully become one of us so we can see His glory. How does He do that? Here you go. Luke 2:6. Whoa. God's going to show up. For the first time, we get to see God's face. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. By the way, what did they name Him?
Jesus.
John 1:14 says this, and the Word became flesh. Because remember, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what?
God.
With God, and the Word was God, and the Word became. We're about to see glory. They call this a certain kind, when God really shows up, the Shekinah glory. It's almost breathtaking. So Moses says, let me see your glory. It took 700 years, from Isaiah's prediction, it took around 700 years for God to do that, but then He finally let him see His glory. I'll go back and at least finish that one. Moses said, show me your glory, and the Lord says, I'll cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. But you cannot see my face. Mary got to see His face. I want you to be Mary just for a few seconds. She's rubbing the face that Moses wanted to see.
Next verse, Philippians 2, 7 and 8. Brian, can you bring me water? He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in, there it is, human likeness, being found in the appearance of a man. I don't know, we just sort of zoom past that so often. God gave us His presence. He let us see His glory. We got to see Him face to face. Now you say, well, we don't today. I don't know, I feel pretty much like that every morning. Thank you, sir. Number two. Okay, so He showed up. We all skeptic would say it that way. But if you feel like, okay, He showed up. He didn't just show up. He decided to live His life like us. Jesus was born the same way I was. Well, it wasn't a Caesarean like me. He grew up and lived and worked and ate and talked and fished just like I. He was human. Don't you dare say, yeah, but He didn't really do what I did. I don't think He did. Yeah, much more. I've never worked in a carpenter shop. I think Jesus was a strong man lugging around all that lumber all His life. What else? We can relate to Jesus in our everyday lives because He lived the same as us. You get up some days and go to work, and some days think, I don't even feel like getting out of bed. You ever think Jesus felt like that? Had to. You say, well, that's what making Him like a human. He was a human.
He was fully God and fully what? Man. And I think, like the woman, don't you tell me Jesus had pimples. Lady, you're missing a lot, because as long as you keep Jesus at arm's length, you'll never have to worry about Him being too human to you, but you'll never have Him as your closest friend. I want Him as my closest friend. I want to feel He's hugging around my shoulder. There's a lady named Joyce Allen. Well, she's Joyce Marion now. Her husband, Larry, was a symphonic chorale director at Giles. He died about a month ago. How do you think she's feeling today? So I sent her something last night, a big message, at about 11:30 or 12, because I figured she's up, and she's missing Larry. On Facebook, I thought I'd send her something. She wrote back, because she was up, and she's missing Larry. And she said, I just hope I could see Jesus one day. And I said, well, if you've opened the door of your heart and invited Him in, He's your Savior. So if you've accepted Him, it's not your goodness that's going to get you to heaven. It's God's grace. She writes back, well, then one day I hope I can walk through heaven. You didn't know you can walk through heaven and see Larry and Jesus. I said, Larry's singing in heaven, of course. No, it's okay. Why? Because Jesus participated. He was one of us. Andy, next slide. Matthew chapter 13. I apologize for calling you today. Read that verse.
Isn't this the carpenter's son?
What do they mean by that? I thought she was going to be something special. He's the son of God. Isn't this carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph? Doesn't he just live down the road? Yeah. Well, then he can't be God. Oh, you're so wrong. Isn't he just one of us? Yeah, he is. Next verse will tell you something, too. Hebrews 4. I'm glad he's one of us. He's a high priest. That says he's God. And he's passed through the heavens once he was resurrected. Keep reading there, but we don't have somebody who can't sympathize with us. Because he was tempted in every way. He went through everything that we do. Yet he was without sin. So yes, we do have a high priest, but we've just got a next door Savior. So number one, His presence. Number two, He participates in life. He's not a bench setter. He's right out there with all of us. Number three, and because He bravely submerged Himself into our world so He could relate to all of us. Let me just, anybody been baptized in here? He did too. Huh. I guess we got something in common. Anybody ever been hungry?
Yeah.
You are right now. Jesus did this. I like this one. See? Doesn't it? It makes him human. Well, he was. Next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Now, he did something a little bit different. He went over to the fig tree and said, oh, give me some figs. No figs on a tree. What'd you do? Curse the tree. You'll never bear fruit. I don't know that I've ever done that before, but he was hungry. And I don't know his reason. I just trust that his...
He was angry.
Got a little bit angry. Why? Wanted some figs. Because he didn't just get angry at that tree. He got angry one time at his father's house. He said, my father's house will be a place of prayer, not a business. You're selling animals. And he got angry at that. No one's in here has been angry, so don't raise your hand, I'm sure. We get angry for a little of nothing. Anybody ever been sad before? Like my friend Joyce. Yeah. Who are those two ladies? That's Martha and Mary. Missing their brother Lazarus. And Jesus' heart breaks. Good, sad, and maybe praying time together. You ever pray? And you say, I do it all the time. Let's put those together. And have a picture of Jesus as he prayed and as he gets overwhelmed and perhaps a touch sad. Put all those together. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane there. He's going to die the next day. How would you pray? You think you got a tough day at work? All these 33 years are going to come to pass right there. Overwhelmed. So he's done a lot of the things we've been. So his presence is... His glory showing up, just can't get past that. Number two, he participated. Number three, because he went to the cross, he's our now next door Savior. You say, what's that mean? Well, since he's our next door Savior, and since he's a God who came near, he's the one that can give us a gift. If he had not done that, if he would have just poofed like a Star Trek and just showed up. Now, some people believe he was pre-incarnate, maybe in the Old Testament, as the leader of God's army. But I'm talking about if he became a baby and grabbed his mom or dad's hand, and that makes him more approachable to me. And since he was born that way and lived the way he did and died the way he did and was buried and rose the way he did, then he's now able to give us a gift because he's made payment for our sins. So the God that came near, even though that woman sort of got mad at Max, oh my God, you're making him, he's got a pimple. Someone might have had a crush on him, or he had to walk to work, or he's got a splinter. But that's okay. That's a Jesus I can relate to. All right, Andy. Glance at that list. I will not read it all, but look. Flesh, human. Invisible to visible. Untouchable to touchable. All the way of those things changed that night. From power to weakness. So which one of those things just grabs you? I like that. The unbreakable becomes fragile. The God who spoke, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? With God, and the Word was God. So God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are spoke, and this world came into being. And some of those who created the world and now dependent upon a human for nourishment. He's all of those things. The love became hated. The exalted became humbled. So he lowers himself to be like us so he can relate to us so that we'll trust him. We sometimes don't like to trust somebody until they do what we do. When we went through what they've done. He made a payment which makes a pardon. Jesus grew up to pay for his sins so we could be pardoned. I don't know if you know this or not, but we're on death row. We as sinners, we're on death row. Jesus takes our place. So imagine being sitting on death row, only it's not an execution. We're waiting hell. And Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love towards us, and while we are yet sinners, Christ did what? Christ died for us. So Jesus paid it all, as the song says, and all to him I owe. Well, can I do it another way? Nah, John 14:6 says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. 8:32, as John says, and the truth will set you free, so let Jesus set you free. So it's rare indeed for anyone to die for a righteous man. Though, for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God proved His love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from the wrath through Him? Next verse. That's His mission. So as a little baby, you know, some of you knew what you were going to be when you grew up. Joe was 4 years old and said, I'm on IAMCO station one day. No, you didn't. Tim, did you know you were going to be a teacher at the age of 10? No. Chris, did you know what you were going to do?
Jesus, born from the womb, and His mom wipes the tears and says, He's going to be the Savior of the world. Because Mary was a believer. So Jesus had His life picked before Him. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. That's His mission. So He's grown up being a missionary. Number four. Finally, the peace. Jesus offers us peace in the world in the midst of a troubled and chaotic world. Right now, right today. So don't go all the way back to Christmas Day to find it, although it was there. Peace entered the world. And the peace that we need today is still available to us. Jesus does not want us to worry. He doesn't want us to fret. If you got a big decision coming up, if you got something you have to do, if you got things, what am I going to do about these payments now for Christmas from all these gifts that I bought? No, I don't know what you've got on your mind. But Jesus says, I want you to have peace. Not like the world does, because the peace I give to you is totally different. Andy, punch that up there. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace for a reason. We can now become royalty, and I can have peace. I won't read you the story because I'll just take too long if I do, but Robbie Reisner was a general in an Illinois prison camp, and he said he could hear the screams down the hall of people getting punji sticks rammed up their fingernails. And he said they would be tortured. And he was a general, so they'd leave him be, but he was still in a gray holding cell of cinder block, no light. And he said he would wake up every day and he found if he could weasel off this crate that was in the floor, some kind of steel structure, but it had mesh to it. He said he'd prop that off, stick his head through the hole, and he'd look through and catch a glimmer of light and he'd see a blade of grass. And he said that green just infused him to give him life. And you've got it tough. I've got it tough. No. And Robbie Reisner would say, let me soak that in. That'd be my, he said, that's how I'd start my day off, just by getting light. He spent 7 years in that camp. But he had peace. Robbie Reisner, how can you have peace? You're in a holding cell. You're in a place that's one you didn't go steer crazy and just want to kill yourself. Because I had peace. And that's what he would later tell people. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So the world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. What else about peace then? Here's why we don't have peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. We don't have peace sometimes because our mind isn't stayed on Jesus. Our mind's on a lot of other things. We're so worried about stuff. We're so tempted to look at this and look at that and do things wrong and then wonder why we don't have peace. And that's what my chair helps me do. I'll sit in that chair, take hold of Jesus, and for a few minutes my mind's focused. And it's like I'm in another world almost. Matter of fact, I don't want to leave the chair. Thank God, I guess I got to go to work now. Would you help my mind to stay on you today so I can have peace in the midst of a chaotic world? So we can have peace. Andy? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. You ever remember that song? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what? Needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You want some peace? Try praying today. God became like us so we could become like Him. So why don't we? Why don't we just say, okay, Lord Jesus, you're all right. I accept you. Well, here's why. I'll give you a reason. We don't want His perfect gift. We don't want to receive Him because we sometimes are at battle with Him. Well, too many has received Him. He gave the power to become the child of God. I can be His family. I can take that baby in Bethlehem that grew up to be my Savior. I can have peace. I can have joy. Why? Because they're sort of battling. I'll give you a good reason. Christ traveled a long way from home to offer us love, peace, forgiveness, and salvation. So why don't we take it? This is why. Because we're at war with Jesus. I think we're at war with Him. And you say, well, that's a strong language. We're at war. Well, that means I want my way and what? God wants His way. And I don't want to give in. I don't know if you've ever had a brother or sister. I had had four brothers, and we'd occasionally fuss. Probably twice in 8 years we fussed. We fuss all the time. Tim yanked my hair up one time, wanted me to holler uncle. You ever do that? Remember that? I wouldn't say uncle. He about pulled my hair off. That's what happened to me, by the way. Thank you, Tim. My hair's gone now. But say uncle, bend your arm up behind you. Come on. We'd fuss. We'd argue. We do that with God sometimes. God, you don't do stuff that I like, so I don't really... So I'm sort of at war with him. Well, today I urge you to do this. Max writes a little story. Well, I could read it to you instead. Andy? This is the story. And Max will... Go down. It's on the CD. Let him tell it to you.
This is a story that was real story. What better day than Christmas and the surrender to Jesus? This was on Christmas Day, 1914. And these two armies were fighting. And for some reason, the Germans started singing Welsh songs.
And the Welsh folks like, wait a minute, they're singing a song for us. Here we go.
Missed a chance to offer his worship as a gift to the King of Kings. And he still do. They let the birth of Jesus pass them by. The miracle of Bethlehem still happens. God still enters the hamlets of our lives and speaks to us. He speaks through scriptures or sunsets. The kindness of a friend or the warning of a medical report. He sings to us through Christmas carols. He calls to us through Christmas sermons. He reaches out through the Christmas story. Here I am, Jesus invites. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with you, and you will eat with me. I have a friend who works with churches in Papua New Guinea. Many in their culture don't knock on doors. They stand at the door frame and politely cough to announce their presence. And when Bible translators tried to explain the idea of Jesus knocking on the door, it made no sense to the locals. The missionaries solved the problem by rendering the verse, I stand at the door and cough. Or whether Jesus is clearing his throat or tapping on the door, the point is the same. He's gentle and polite. He never forces his way in. He never demands to meet with us for fellowship. Yet it seems that just as we reach to open the door, the baby cries, the doorbell rings, or the beep on our smartphone reminds us to study for the exam, call the doctor, do the laundry, or cut the grass. So we miss out on the opportunity to offer Jesus our gift of worship. And we miss out on something powerful that can change not only our lives, but also the lives of others. Worship powerfully changed the day back in 1915. It was Christmas Eve and World War I was raging in northern France. Bombs shook the soil. Frigid temperatures shook the bones of the fighters. Germans were entrenched on one side and the Royal Welsh Fusiliers on the other. Most of the soldiers were only a few years removed from boyhood. They were young and homesick and longing to be with loved ones. The guns had blazed in relentless fury for months. Christmas seemed far away from this blood-soaked land. But at one point, from the German side of the field, came a chorus of voices singing a Welsh holiday hymn. Sleep, my child, in peace attend thee all through the night. Guardian angels, God will send thee all through the night. The soldiers on both sides set down their weapons. For a moment, in that moment, there was no war, just the song. What happened next can only be described as a miracle. The night was spent in carol singing. Around dawn, the feelings of goodwill emboldened the soldiers to step out of their trenches and greet their foes, shouting such greetings as, hello Tommy and hello Fritz. They shook hands in no man's land and exchanged gifts German beer, sausages, and spiked helmets from one side, canned corned beef, biscuits, and tunic buttons from the other. Then, of all things, a game of soccer broke out. It was disjointed and unorganized, with perhaps as many as 50 players on each side. For half an hour or so, the battlefield became a soccer field, and enemies enjoyed time together. And it all began with worship. We can only pray that an armistice would happen again, that warriors would become worshipers, that we would lay down our weapons of pride and vengeance, and join hearts to thank the one who came to bring peace on earth and goodwill to all. Someday that peace will come. Conflict will give way to an eternal chorus. Until then, we can practice. Today, give Jesus the gift the angels gave him. Even if you've turned him away before, you can still don the robe of grace, soar on the wings of faith, and take your place in the heavenly chorus and sing glory to God in the highest. That knock at the door of your heart, that's Jesus inviting you to let him in. All you have to do is open the door for him.
Pray with me, please. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you still come near. You came near in a bodily form in Mary. Finally got to see the face of God. I can't imagine her just touching the soft face of you and wrapping you in clothes that would keep the hay from scratching your delicate skin. Joseph just bewildered, not even knowing what to say. That's the way I'd be. For God had came near. And Jesus, you lived a life very real for us. Your presence was enough, but then you participated in life. You worked and you got calluses and you were angry and you were sad. You were just like us. And then Jesus, you paid a price. Once you grew up to be 33 years old, you paid a price often before that, but then the ultimate price. No man can show greater love than he laid down his life for his friends, and that's what you did. So Jesus, you died for us. You died for everyone. So thanks for that payment, and we can be pardoned. And finally, you give us peace. You still do that. So visit us today, Jesus, if we have something against you. If we're sort of at war, or we want our way, help us today to just be like this story illustrates. On Christmas Day, they laid down their weapons and they decided to quit fighting. Jesus, today, may we just stop fighting. May we quit tugging like it's a tug of war and tugging and want our way. Jesus, today, we just surrender to you. And Lord, whatever that area is, or whatever that situation is, whoever that person is, Lord, help us just to put it down and find that peace, because Lord, that's what we desire today, the Prince of Peace to take over. So Jesus, forgive us, or we want our way. So battling stops today. The surrender begins, and Jesus, it'll be a sweet surrender to you. So Lord, you be our peace today. Thanks for showing up years ago, and thanks for showing up today. We might not be able to see you like the shepherds did, but we can still worship you. And we might not be able to see you like the wise men did, but we can still give you gifts. We can begin with our heart and our life. So Jesus, thanks for being with us today, and thanks for these, our friends, being here today on Christmas Day to honor you and to worship you. So bless our time, and thank you, Jesus, that you've been here with us. In Jesus' name, amen.